Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
I love the liturgies that we celebrate in Holy Week. One of the reasons why is because they are so full of symbols. They're so full of images to remind us of God's great plan of salvation. I already mentioned the one powerful image behind me of the empty tabernacle. And of course, the symbolism of many of us priests, probably around 100 of them, gathering at the cathedral on Tuesday afternoon with our archbishop, showing our community of the priesthood that helps him administer to the people of God. And then, of course, his blessing of the holy oils, the oil of the catechumen, the oil of the infirm, and the sacred chrism, which we will receive here at Our Lady in a few moments right before the offertory. Many symbols in our liturgies during this Holy Week. And it even in this particular celebration, as I was reading through the three readings of tonight, the symbols just really started coming out at me. From the book of Exodus, it is the Passover of the Lord. The Passover meal is a gift given by God to his chosen people. It is in their celebration of the Passover, and it is in their putting the blood of the lamb on the lintels above their doors that protected them, that allowed the angel of death to go over them and not incur its wrath on their family. The Passover was a physical protection for God's chosen people so that they would not incur that wrath. "See, in the blood I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you." And then it concludes by saying, "This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord. as a perpetual institution. That last sentence reminds us of what Jesus said at the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. The Eucharist is the way that he continues to perpetuate his sacrifice on the cross, generation after generation after generation. It is how he brings his presence here and how he allows us to pass over from death in this life to the new life to come. And then our second reading came from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. When you look at the New Testament, you will see three institution narratives, three narratives of what Jesus said and did at the Last Supper in the Gospels. Matthew has one, Mark has one, and Luke has one. I'll talk about John in a minute. But also, St. Paul wrote about it in that letter to the Corinthians. And scripture scholars, and they don't agree on a lot, but one of the things they agree upon is that is probably the earliest written account of what Jesus said and did at the Last Supper. Probably written around 40 AD or so, where John's Gospel is written around 100 AD, several generations later. But he says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. There is that doing it of a remembrance of me. There is that command to Jesus' disciples to continue to celebrate this meal, to continue to participate in my sacrifice. And he goes on to say, in the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In Exodus, we see God entering in covenant with his chosen people. God entering into a new and unique relationship with his chosen people. And it was always done with the sacrifice of an animal or animals, and with the spreading of blood. In Jesus' case, he, of course, gives up his life and sheds his blood to enter into a greater covenant with us all. The sacrifice of animals symbolized something. The sacrifice of Jesus meant something new was happening. Now he was going to continue to be present to us, even though this is some 2,000 years after he gave up his life on the cross. Now we are going to continue to receive his body and blood. Now we are going to continue to participate in his sacrifice on the cross. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim of the death of the Lord until he comes. So he not only wants us to do this in remembrance of me, he wants us to continue to do this until he comes again in his glory. Finally, John's Gospel. I mentioned three of the four Gospels had an institution narrative. John's Gospel does not. We don't see anything like that. Was John's writer asleep at the switch? Did he not think that this was important? No, of course not. But as I said, if John's Gospel was truly written, say, almost 100 AD, several generations have already passed of Catholics who continued to celebrate what we now know as the Mass, continue to celebrate the sacrament of the Eucharist. They don't need an instruction book how to do it. They've been doing it. But maybe John's community needed to be a reminder about what this was about. What is it that we're supposed to get out of this celebration? Is it just a social outing where we come together and share what's been going on in the last week of our life? Or are we supposed to be changed? by our participation in the Eucharist. The interesting thing about this is, as a prelude, the devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to hand him over. And then it goes on to say, so during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And yet, he took off his garments. He took the position of a slave, of a servant, and knelt at the foot of every one of his disciples, including the one who would betray him, Judas, including the one who would deny knowing him, including the ones that would abandon him, kneeling at them, at their feet, and washing their feet. Jesus says, you call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you also should do. It's great when Scripture tells me what the passage means, so I don't have to figure it out for all of you. But Jesus is saying, this is what you're supposed to do. The outcome of the Eucharist is we're supposed to be empowered to love our neighbor, to care for our fellow neighbor, to love one another as I have loved you. The Eucharist is how we are empowered and freed. One of my professors in seminary said, the Eucharist frees us to love. Frees us to love. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross, because of the love he showed each one of us, we are freed to love. We are freed to follow Christ's example, to love one another. So that is what is supposed to come out of our celebration of the Eucharist. But there was an interesting thing this week as I was reading through this. And everything I said, I don't necessarily not believe, but there was something that struck me this time. And I can't tell you how many times I've read this particular account, but something struck me. He came to Simon Peter, who said to them, Master, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me. What struck me was the symbolism of baptism. To be perfectly honest, I had never noticed that before. How do we have inheritance with Jesus? How are we offered the gift of eternal life? It is through our baptism. At the Easter Vigil, this font will be filled with water. It will be blessed. And two people will enter into that font and come out of it a new person, experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. They will be offered the gift of eternal life at that very moment, just as all of us were at our baptism. Our life, then, is about embracing that gift, accepting that gift, and living lives that show we understand what an awesome, awesome gift the Heavenly Father has for us, eternal life with Him. This is the inheritance that Jesus is talking about. Simon Peter doesn't understand it right then. None of the other disciples understood it then. But after Pentecost, it became crystal clear that the inheritance that Jesus was talking about was eternal life in heaven. That's what we're about today. We're about to continue our celebration of the Eucharist, continue to receive Christ's body and blood, but it is to renew what has already been offered to us at our baptism, eternal life with God. That is what these 3 days are about. because of what Jesus did, by giving up his life on the cross, the gates of heaven were thrown open. And through our baptism, we are offered a share of his inheritance. And so, as we continue not only tonight's celebration, but the celebration tomorrow of Good Friday, and then our Easter celebrations beginning Saturday night at the Easter Vigil, let us always keep in mind what Jesus did for us so that we can do the same for one another, to show God that we truly, truly appreciate the gift of eternal life in heaven.